Hi, welcome to the Waterstone Sermon Podcast. We're so glad you've tuned in to join us as we study God's Word together. Here at Waterstone, we exist to help people become like Jesus and live for others. Practically, that means we gather as one body to seek God's heart for justice, to serve side by side, and to stay deeply connected as the body of Christ. We hope you'll join us in person for one of our Sunday services at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. We'd love to meet you, and we hope you enjoy today's sermon.
Good morning, Waterstone. So today's scripture is reading from Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The word of the Lord. You may be seated.
So Joy and her husband Chris are some of our global partners in Ireland. They and their three boys have been serving over there for a number of years, and they're back for a couple of months and are with us today as scripture readers. So thankful for you guys. Can we just give them a thank you for serving globally for us? Awesome. All right, and one more announcement before we dive in today. I got a lot to say, apparently, before we get to the message, but we are about a month into our new service time, so we switched about a month ago to our service times at 9 and 10:45, and we realized about a month into it that there's a little bit too big of a gap between the 9 o'clock and the 10:45 service, and so what you might notice if you stick around for a little bit or if you've come to the 10:45 service, it feels like you're walking into an empty church, like there's no one here, because all of you at the 9 o'clock have already left for brunch, okay? And so what we are gonna do is move our 10:45 service back to 10:30. That's actually what our rhythm used to be, 9 and 10:30. So starting on Memorial Day weekend, Sunday, May 24th, we are gonna have a 9 and a 10:30 service. I just wanna say thank you for all the flexibility as we're kind of figuring out that new rhythm and making decisions on that. And so if you have come to the 10:45 and are like, it feels a little late for our family, we're just bumping that up a little bit, and that'll start here in just a couple of weeks. So thanks for your patience as we kind of figure out all the decisions around that, which is a really good segue into our message today on decision fatigue. That's what we're going to be talking about. So I shared with you that when we began this series called Restless, that it really came out of this place where I had planned a sermon series last fall for this time of year, where we're going to be walking through all of the controversial things in the culture wars, in faith, and talking about things like sexuality and money and all of that sort of thing. In fact, today on Mother's Day, I had actually planned to talk about politics. So you're welcome that we shifted off of that one. And what I realized a couple of weeks ago is that, everybody is just kind of tired and worn out. And truthfully, I didn't have the energy to wade into the culture wars. I didn't want that. Wasn't really sure that a monologue is the right format for that. And so we made the shift to this series, Restless. And so we've been walking through these different ideas like anxiety and loneliness and people problems. And today we're going to look at decision fatigue. And then next week we're going to finish the series looking at money problems. What I didn't share about this series is where those five categories came up from. And truthfully, I just kind of looked at my life and I was like, okay, what are the top five things that have kind of been stressing me out lately? Let's just preach on those for 5 weeks, and I bet they will resonate with other people. And I hope that it has. From a lot of conversations with you, it seems like this series has resonated. And so today we are coming to decision fatigue. And I feel like that actually fits really well with Mother's Day, much better than politics, right? Let's be honest. Who wants to talk about politics on Mother's Day? Maybe Father's Day, right? That's where that one fits. So today, we wanted to dive into this conversation about decision fatigue. And we thought it fit really well with Mother's Day, primarily because if you talk to a lot of women, they carry, mothers or not, they just carry a large load of making decisions for a lot of things in the world. And so even outside of that, though, I think many of us are tired of decisions. We have decision fatigue. You know, I was talking with a minister from Africa who works with my family and my parents who do missions work over there. And he was stateside. He's from Tanzania. He was stateside for a couple of months, kind of visiting different churches and eating with different people and getting to know them and building out the ministry. And at one meal, He was sitting down, and there was this little girl who asked him, what is your favorite dessert? And he said, you know, in my country, we don't really have a lot of dessert. He comes from an impoverished area, and so food is hard to come by in different ways. And she said, oh, well, what's the word for dessert in your language? And he said, we actually don't even have a word for dessert, which I just kind of thought blew my mind. Because if I go to a restaurant and I love dessert, there are so many options. There are so many options for us to choose from. And that's just one category in a list of like thousands. I'm guessing that before you came to church today, before you showed up at 9 a.m. or 9:15, whenever your family gets here, you had probably already made 40 decisions. What are you gonna wear today? Should you answer that text message? Should you wait till after church to send that text for Mother's Day? What are your kids gonna wear? What are they gonna eat? Does the car have gas? Should we stop now or should we stop after? Like, there are just decisions that are constantly flooding into our lives that we are constantly trying to figure out. And here's one of the things that I think many of us feel. It's not just the small decisions. It sometimes escalates then to the bigger decisions, right? Where should we live? Well, what apartment should I move into? Who should my roommates be? Should I marry this person? What job should I take? Now, just wonder if any of you feel like me and you just feel a little tired of making decisions in your life. And here's the ache that I think many of us feel, the pressure that many of us feel under this ache of decision fatigue. How do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what God wants me to do in my life? Anyone felt that pressure before? I mean, it's the big decisions that loom around relationships or careers or a living situation, and you just have this kind of like low-level anxiety, this kind of thought underneath it all, that if I mess this decision up, if I don't get this decision right, I might miss God's will for my life. I might irrevocably screw up this life. And I think many of us, we have that relationship to some of the bigger decisions in our lives. We have this fear that if we don't get it exactly right, then God will be disappointed with us. We won't choose his will for our lives, and we'll just screw everything up for ourselves or for our kids or for our friends. Our careers will never be able to recover. And I think that weight, it places something on our souls, where we just have this heaviness around decisions where we second guess and we delay and we overthink and we have analysis paralysis and we put everything into ChatGPT hoping it'll solve our problems, right? And we try to find the solution to make sure that one bad decision does not ruin our lives. Decision fatigue. Now, I wonder if you've ever wished that as you were praying for wisdom for a decision, that you just kind of had this thought, like, I wish that I could just, like, email God or just send him the text and he would just respond, right? And he would just give me the answer. This is the job you were supposed to take. This is the person you are supposed to marry. This is the thing that you are supposed to do. And the subject line on the email is like, here is exactly what you need to do and the steps that you need to take in order to make this happen. Here's the place to live. The last time I checked, God does not tend to respond to my prayers like a ChatGPT session, right? Like, he doesn't just spit out all of the information that I need. So the question many of us wrestle with is how do we make decisions? How do I know what God wants me to do with my life? And so I thought today it would be important to turn back to some of the wisdom literature, the Proverbs that have a lot to say about the decisions we make in life. And what you'll notice is that as we walk through this passage, what I'm hoping to do today is help you see that God's will for your life is not a tightrope that you have to walk. It's not a tightrope that you have to walk, and if you get it wrong, then you are going to fall to like your doom and destruction, okay? It's actually a path that he invites us into, a direction, a trajectory about a way of becoming. So this is what Proverbs said. We're going to be in chapter 3, just looking at two verses today, verses 5 and 6. And the first verse says this, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Now, here's the idea that we sometimes get wrong around trust and faith. is we tend to think that any time Scripture talks about trust or faith is that it's kind of like the blind leap, right? Like I've talked about this before. Indiana Jones helped us understand this. You just like step out into the void and something will catch you if you trust it enough. But trust in the Hebrew language is actually much more solid than that. It's actually, trust is like something as solid as this podium, that I can lean on this podium and it won't collapse underneath me because I trust that its sturdy and its structure will actually hold the weight that I'm asking it to carry. And that's actually the image we have of God. We are supposed to trust in God like we would trust something like a podium or like a chair that you're sitting in. And it's something that can hold the weight that you put on it. It's not just like positive thinking for your life. It is actually putting the weight of your life onto God, depending on Him, relying on Him, and treating Him as more than an idea, as something that is trustworthy and true in your life. Man, for so many of us, that is really hard, isn't it? Because let's just face the fact, you can see this. You can touch this. You can actually lean your weight onto it. You can't see God that same way. You can't lean on God as tangibly as you can this podium. But I think it actually goes deeper than we can see physical things and we can't see God. I think it goes to a deeper level than that. I think that many of us, we carry this weight that if we think, if we analyze the decision enough, if we predict enough, if we prepare enough, and if we can make all of the right decisions, then maybe we will have some control out of our future or the outcomes of the decisions we make. And so I think for some of us, the reason that we have trouble actually trusting God with the decisions we make, he says to trust in God is because we would rather carry the full weight of decision-making ourselves. We would rather trust ourselves. Because if I can trust myself, if I can make the right decisions, then I can actually try to control the outcomes in my life. But trust means admitting that God can hold what you cannot. See, I don't know if you realize this. You probably need a reminder, you are not God. As crazy as that is to say. See, in the person who's writing these Proverbs, he goes on to say that we need to trust God with all of our heart. Not just trust God a little, trust in God with all of our heart. In Scripture and in the Hebrew understanding, the heart wasn't just your emotions. It wasn't just the place that made you feel things. It was actually the center of the whole person. It was your mind, it was your will, it was your desires, it was your decision-making center. And so in other words, what this song, or this proverb is saying is that you need to trust God and allow him to become the center of your decision-making life. That he should be the center of all that you are, and that is what should lead you as you seek to make decisions. It's a little bit as if there's an image of God as the center of your life, and everything else in your life revolves around it. Similar to how everything in our galaxy revolves around, or our solar system revolves around the sun, right? It holds the gravitational center, and so we are dependent. We lean on not our own understanding, but on God's understanding. We make him the center of what we are doing, and we trust him to hold things together, and that when we put him as the core of our life, then things will begin to fall into place. And here's the problem for so many of us, is that when it comes to decisions, our heart is not orbiting around God. It is orbiting around other things. It is orbiting around other values like success or approval or comfort or control or relationships. It's orbiting around our finances. See, and we are hoping that those things will be weighty enough to hold the center of our lives. But what this is saying is that we need to trust God with our whole heart so that we put him at the center of everything. It goes on to kind of explain this a little bit, and it says that the way we do this, the way that we trust in the Lord with our whole heart, is to lean not on our own understanding. And you might miss this because in the original languages, what this is actually saying is that you need to lean not on your own understanding. You need to actually get to the place where you just kind of stop thinking entirely. That you actually just go on faith. It means never asking questions, never learning, never reasoning through everything. If you're about to make a decision and you're not sure what to do, reason and understanding are sinful, and that you should just turn your brain off and trust God spiritually. Now, that's not what it means at all, right? Everything I just said is absolutely wrong. But we live that way sometimes, don't we? I mean, have you ever been around the person that you're like, hey, why did you make that terrible decision for your life? And like, I don't know, the Lord told me to. You're like, I'm pretty sure that the Lord did not tell you to do that thing, right? It's the person who walks up to the girl and says, hey, the Lord told me we're supposed to get married. And she says, the Lord didn't tell me that, okay? It's that situation. Where we just kind of like throw Bible verses at it and we think things like, man, if I have a plan, then I'm not trusting God. If I have like some sort of financial like guidance for my life, then I'm not giving God enough trust. If I have any kind of learning or wisdom, then I am not trusting God enough. We shouldn't use discernment. We shouldn't think critically. Don't seek advice, because if you do that, you're leaning on your own understanding. That's not what this passage is talking about at all. It's not saying leaning on your own understanding means you can't think critically, you can't reason. See, what we often do is we try to take these verses out of context and we just kind of like put a little spiritual faith wrapped around it. But I want you to imagine for a moment if you were flying a plane. And it was a little foggy. It was one of those nights where it's a little, the fog is kind of dense, the weather's bad, and you hear the pilot come over the speaker system, and he says, hey, you know what? I'm going to kind of go without the instruments. The tower is telling me that things are looking a little dicey, but, you know, I'm just going to kind of go with this landing on vibes. Like, I'm just going to kind of, like, feel it out. I mean, you would be looking for the parachute, right? Like, that's insane. And yet for so many of us, when it comes to how we live our lives, we try to operate like those kinds of pilots who just say, like, you know what, we will just figure it out. We'll just kind of feel our way through this. But that's not called wisdom. That's called Spirit Airlines, right? R.I.P. to Spirit Airlines. That's not what you want flying your plane. And yet when it comes to our life, those are the ways many of us can make decisions. I'll just kind of go with my gut. And I understand, I'm an intuitive person. I love making decisions with my gut. It drives my wife crazy. She's like, you didn't think about that at all. It's like, well, I did a little bit. But you got to get to this place where you are actually understanding this. That lean not on your own understanding doesn't mean you don't think critically. It doesn't mean you don't take wise counsel. This is what it means. It means you do not make yourself the ultimate authority in your life. It means don't treat your perspective like it's enough to safely guide your entire life. Go back to the pilot illustration for just a second. Can you imagine if a pilot was flying and the tower says, hey, you gotta watch out. There's like, you know, there's a ton of traffic around here and you need to just kind of keep circling because there are too many planes trying to land. There's no runway for you. And the pilot just says, you know, I hear you, tower, but I've just got a better perspective on the situation. I know what this plane needs. See, I think sometimes that's how we live spiritually, is we're trying to figure out decisions to make, and God has actually given us direction for the decisions. And the things that he has made really abundantly clear to us in his word, we just kind of go through life and thinking, I don't know, like maybe they're just kind of like suggestions. Like they're not actual guidance, they're not actual wisdom, like they're just suggestions for my life. And I think what it means to lean not on your own understanding is recognizing that you are not the author of wisdom. You do not have a big enough picture to see how all of your decisions are going to impact yourself or other people. You need to trust and lean on the wisdom of God and the things that he has made clear to us. So you see, trusting in God, it's not intellectual weakness at all. God is not saying don't use reason. It's actually an encouragement to have the humility to admit that your perspective is limited. That's a very different thing. See, the way that I would put it is trusting God removes the burden of you having to be your own guide in your life. So when you feel like you have to be your own guide, when you have to set your own course, when you have to make all of the decisions for yourself and trust in your own understanding and your own perspective, that is a massive, massive weight on your soul. And I think one of the things that I hope has become clear throughout this restless series is one of the reasons so many of us are restless is because we have placed things on our soul that we were never meant to carry. See, I was never meant to carry the full weight of guiding my life by myself. I was never meant to decide right and wrong for myself. I was never meant to make every decision based on my limited perspective. So the invitation is to trust God because it removes the burden of feeling like you have to be your own guide. But if we're honest, I think most of us know intuitively that we're supposed to trust God in some form or fashion. Like me saying, hey, if you're having trouble making decisions in your life, you need to trust God a little more. That's a little cliche, right? It doesn't quite land. It's like, well, I need a little bit more than that, Paul. We need a little bit of practical wisdom. We live in a very complex world. It is really hard to make decisions about the kinds of things that we are facing every day. So what does it actually look like to trust in God with my whole heart and not lean on my own understanding? In Proverbs 3:6 says this, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, I will be honest with you. I do not like that word submit, and I don't think you like it either. And I think choosing to talk about the word submit on Mother's Day was a really bold choice, okay? Because that word has been misused so often, particularly against women, particularly in churches. And in the modern mindset, the idea of submit means that you lose your freedom, you lose autonomy, that you lose control of your life. And none of us hear that and think, okay, I'm going to just hand control over to somebody else and submit to them. Sign me up for that. That sounds awesome. That's not what we want at all. But that's also not what submission actually means. See, biblically, submission means something entirely different than just handing over your life to someone else and letting them be in charge of you now. Submission actually is more akin to aligning yourself with the life of God and the authority of God. That God has given wisdom or clarity on how we are supposed to live. And submission means that you are trusting God understands life better than you do, and you are aligning your life with the reality of who God is and how he defines it. And this is why I think so many of us feel tension in our lives. Because we still want final say. Deep down, many of us, I don't think we actually want God's wisdom. I think some of us, we want to control the circumstances. We want to control outcomes. We want God's guidance, but we don't want the surrender that comes with it. We would love if God would just bless our plans while we quietly hold on to control. And I think what happens in that space is that many of us, we end up living a life that is very spiritually divided. And what essentially happens to our hearts and to our souls is that we've kind of submitted to God in some of our ways, but not all of our ways. And we've trusted God with part of our heart, but not all of our heart. And it's a little bit like we have one foot in, one foot out, and we think, you know, there is some wisdom. There's some good ideas. God is God, after all. He's got some good things to say. But I think I know better in these areas. Or I'm not quite sure because this value doesn't really align with what I think Scripture says, but I don't want to give this up. And so many of us, we live in this place where we have a heart that is divided, a soul that is divided. And a divided heart will always produce a restless life. See, the exhausted person is often trying to serve too many masters. I will serve God, but I also try to live for approval and comfort and success and image and control. And so our soul buckles under the weight of that. I want you to imagine for a moment that you're driving a car. And let's just say that, let's go one step deeper. You were teaching a teenager to drive the car, okay? And as you're it's stressful, right? And as you're teaching this teenager to drive the car, you're giving really clear instructions, really clear, really, really clear. There's one pedal down there that is the brake, and when you hit the brake, it stops the car. And then there's another pedal down there that when you hit that pedal, then that's the gas, and it makes the car go. And this teenager, for whatever reason, probably not your kid would never do this, but they hit both pedals at the same time, okay? And no matter how many times you say you can't hit both pedals at the same time, they just continue to press both the brake. They're nervous. They don't want to go too fast. So they just keep the engine starts grinding. The tires start wearing out. Like the brakes start smoking. Like it is not a good situation. You can't drive a car and try to stop and go at the same time. And yet, I think what happens to so many of us spiritually is that we are living all gas, all brakes, all the time. And we are just pressing both, and we are saying, okay, God, like I'm trying to listen to you, but I'm not actually giving my full self to you. And we live in this place where we are asking God for wisdom for our lives, but we are simultaneously refusing to release control. We say, God, I want your peace. I don't want to live a restless life anymore, but I still really need to manage every outcome for myself. Eventually, the soul starts grinding under that contradiction. You see, a fragmented heart produces a fragmented life. I think some of us feel restless because we are trying to live with God in that space. And there are absolutely too many decisions to make. Decision fatigue is real. There are so many different things that are coming at us that are asking us to make decisions every day. But if we don't know the voice or the value system we're submitting to, we will always live a restless life. We will always be struggling between what God wants for us and then what we want for ourselves. And when the heart is divided, life starts to feel divided too. A divided heart will always produce a restless life. So the question is, with all of those decisions, and it is absolutely an incredibly complex world that we are trying to make decisions in. I mean, I would argue that it's probably more complex than it's ever been. What does it look like for us to not be pulled into too many directions at once? Well, I think we have to go back to that word, submit. Verse 6 again, in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. What this proverb says is that when we trust God and when we submit our lives to God, he makes our paths straight. Now notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say he will make our paths perfect. He doesn't say that your path will have perfect certainty. He doesn't say that God will hand you detailed blueprints for the next 20 years of your life. It's not saying that you will never have anxiety again. What is it promising? It's promising direction. A place to plant your feet that's a little more stable, that's full of maturity and wisdom. See, the invitation, I think, is that what this proverb is saying is that God forms people who submit to him to walk in a way where they can steadily walk through the complexity of life. You see, the decision fatigue is not ultimately solved by more information or endless analysis or perfect forecasting or that exact right answer from ChatGPT or Claude, for those of you who prefer Claude. See, some of us, we are trying to think our way to absolute certainty, and we are trying to guarantee outcomes before we move forward with things in life. But peace is never found in controlling an outcome. It is found in trust and surrender and wisdom and alignment to God. See, honestly, part of why this series exists and part of why we're talking about decision fatigue today is I shared at the beginning that I just picked the five things that have been stressing me out the most over the last, few months. And this idea of decision-making, what I realized about myself is that it wasn't like there was no giant crisis in my life. It was kind of the death of a thousand decisions, right? You know what I'm talking about? Everything from like where your kid goes to school and what the schedule should be for their life and what activities they should be in to church, to jobs, to just leadership decisions, staffing decisions, direction decisions, like living decisions. And it's just these like thousands of decisions that are all coming at you all the time. And they feel so emotionally loaded. But what I realized about myself is the reason they felt so emotionally loaded in my life is because I was making them something bigger than necessary. See, these decisions I was thinking through, they would be the kind of things that I would replay in the car, like on the way to or from work or to home. There were the things that, like, if I woke up because a kid needed help in the night, then I couldn't fall back asleep because I was just thinking about all the outcomes. There were those moments where you're not even like necessarily stressed about what is happening like outwardly, but it's just like your subconscious continues to like bleed into you and say, what are you going to do with this? Are you going to handle this right? Should you have done that differently? And underneath all of that is this pressure I was carrying that if I make the wrong decision, people will get hurt. Or maybe the church would suffer, my family would suffer. Maybe I would miss what God is wanting, and so I would keep praying, God, give me wisdom. God, show me what to do. But beneath that, what I was really trying to do was not just rely on God's wisdom. What I really wanted was certainty. What I really wanted was guarantees. I wanted God to tell me that if you choose this path, everything will work out. Nobody will be disappointed. Nobody will be frustrated. Nothing will fail. And it turns out that God doesn't quite give us those kinds of answers. But I think the reason why he doesn't give us those kinds of answers is because we're asking the wrong questions and we're not actually relying on him. We're trying to carry the weight ourselves. My guess is that that's not a unique situation to me. I think a lot of us are living that way. I have many pastoral sessions with people who are like, I don't know what to do about this decision. And it is a burden that will crush you every time if you are trying to predict every outcome or avoid every mistake or control every future possibility. So one of the things I've kind of learned throughout this series is I have a lot of control issues. Control issues are very antithetical to faith. See, it's actually not reason or thinking well or wisdom that's antithetical to faith. A lot of times it's control. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, God doesn't eliminate every decision, but he does give us the steadiness to walk through those decisions faithfully. And you might be sitting there thinking, okay, Paul, that was a lot of stuff, and I don't feel like I have any more clarity about the decisions I need to make now, right? Where are the practical tips? Here's one thing that I think Proverbs teaches us, and really all of the wisdom scripture teaches us. Life is way too complex for simple formulas. It's just too complex. I could stand up here and I could try to tell you, God is telling you to do this with your life. I could say, like, thus saith the Lord, I'm the pastor, you need to listen to me. This is the person you need to marry. I would be a terrible guide for your life. You don't want those practical tips. What we actually need is wisdom and to understand that the deeper level of so many of our decisions is the anxiety we feel, the restlessness we feel is actually way more about a divided heart than about whether or not we are making the right decision. And it's not a promise that nothing will be painful or nothing unexpected will ever happen to you. You can live wisely. You can live in submission to the Lord. You can parent faithfully. You can manage your money well. You can be even a person of integrity, and you can still walk through suffering because we live in a world that is very fractured by sin. See, and I think one of the things that we kind of misunderstand is that we come to decision-making completely backwards. We think of God's will like a tightrope, that you have to walk this tightrope exactly perfectly, and if you just step off one, you know, centimeter to the side or the other side, you are going to fall and plummet to your death and doom and destruction. But the problem with that metaphor is that Scripture never talks about God's will as a perfect tightrope that you have to get right every time. What was the metaphor we saw? A path. It says that if you walk in wisdom, you will make your path straight. But here's the difference between a tightrope and a path. On a path, you can stumble. On a tightrope, you can't stumble. On a path, you can make a wrong step. And you may not even feel the immediate effects of that wrong step. You can also make the right step, and you may not feel the immediate effects of the right step either. But wisdom is not usually about an isolated step. It is about a trajectory of your life. It is about, where are these decisions adding up to? Where is this path leading? You see, sometimes we think that we have to just get it exactly right. And God is inviting us to simply walk with him. And I think it's so fascinating to me that one of the metaphors Jesus used that had to do with paths is he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. See, Jesus doesn't just teach a path of wisdom like other religious leaders. He doesn't say, like, follow these precepts and you will get to the destination that you're hoping for. He says, follow me. See, Jesus never asked you to get every decision right. He asked you to simply follow him. It's as if the goal of wisdom, Jesus is actually the one who embodies the wisdom of God, which means the goal of the Christian life is not merely making better decisions or following the perfect life improvement plan. It is becoming more like Jesus. And as you become more like Jesus, you will understand more what wisdom looks like and what decisions you should make. And so the answer is Jesus, if you're feeling restless about decisions today, which might feel a little cliche, but honestly, I haven't found a better option or a better path worth following. One of the things that you will find in Jesus is that he is everything we need is already found in Christ. Jesus never asked you to pick the right path. He asked you to follow him, and he promises that as you do, he will make your paths straight. I think some of us, we are haunted by decisions we have made, and some of us are stuck in decisions we have to make right now. We're terrified that we might get it wrong. And I wonder if maybe part of what I can give you today is just a release from the burden of expectation that you have to get everything right. You are not walking a tightrope. You are walking a path with Jesus. And there is a lot of room for freedom on that path. And so as we close today, I just want to pray a simple prayer for you. But if you've been thinking in categories of simply right and wrong, but you need more discernment, I just want to pray that over you in your life. Maybe it's around decisions for marriage or parenting or work or relationships or health. Let's just take a moment and come before the Lord and pray together today. Heavenly Father, God, my assumption is many people in this room feel the weight of a thousand different decisions that they need to figure out. Everything from where they should vacation this summer to car they need to buy, what's going on in their marriage, how to solve that parenting issue they're dealing with, the relational issue with their roommate or their friend. God, we do want clarity for those things. But I think we confess that we have often, I know I do, I often look for the clarity in the wrong places. It's easier to Google something than it is to pray. It's easier to just feel the anxiety and the weight of the decision than it is to come to your word and ask for guidance. It's easier to have a conversation with ourselves than it is to bring in the Holy Spirit. So, Father, today, whatever weight people might be carrying around this idea of decision fatigue, God, I pray that there would just be a little bit of a burden lifted. So much of life is not about getting the exact right decisions, but it's about following Jesus. His wisdom, his guidance. That God, where you have made things clear, we should follow it. And where things are a little unclear, there is total freedom. And God, we just simply pray that you would give us the wisdom to follow you. that we would trust you with our whole hearts, and that we would submit to you in all of our ways. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Because I really wish I could give you a formula for how to make decisions. Because that's how it works in my life. I want to know the formula works. And so I think in my head, you know, if I can just pick the right school for my kid and then they go to that school, then this is the person they will become. And life doesn't work that way. It doesn't. Yeah, thanks for the laugh. Here's the reality, is that I think what it is calling us to, what wisdom calls us to, is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Now think of the story of Peter, where he gets out of the boat and he keeps his eyes on Jesus and he can walk on water, the tumult, the chaos, as if it was solid ground. And then he took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. And I think that's the reminder for some of us today. We are trying to make decisions and we have forgotten to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we're searching for our own wisdom and our own clarity and our own guarantees, and Jesus is just saying, I'm right here, follow me. I hope in some way that that maybe relieves a little bit of the burden you might be feeling around decision fatigue. Would you please now receive the benediction as we head out from here? Heavenly Father, as we go to celebrate Mother's Day, God, I pray that you would go with those who are rejoicing and full of joy today. God, I pray that you would comfort those who are hurting. And God, for all of us, I pray that you would guide us on the path of wisdom, and that we would keep our eyes on you. And it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may go in peace.